Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 91. We'll read verses 13 through 16 together. Psalm 91, verses 13 through 16, and we'll read this passage responsibly. Psalm 91, verses 13 through 16. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us here. Lord, this morning the altars were full and people being saved and eternity was changed and lives were changed through the truth that was preached. And God, you're so good to us. You have chosen to use sinners. Not only that, but as we read, you've chosen to even know our name. Just the fact that you know who we are, what a great God you are. Father, I pray that you be with our preacher tonight, fill him with your power, fill us with the Holy Spirit as we listen, so that we could have our lives changed to do more for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
They couldn't find a piano player that was willing to play with them. That's all it is. Thank you, fellas. Tonight, the sermon is entitled, How to Shorten Your Life. How to shorten your life. Psalm 91, verse number 16, we read it together earlier. God sees the length or length of life as something as valuable. And I think we as humans feel the very same way. Long life can be very, very satisfying, especially for a Christian, and that because the longer we live, the longer we have to serve Him. I take some vitamins because I would like to be healthy and live a little longer. I take a multiple vitamin. I take a multiple vitamin in the morning. I take one about three quarters of the way through the day. I take some B12. I take a thing called red yeast rice, and I do that for cholesterol's sake. Now, I don't have a cholesterol problem, but I don't want to have one. When I get sick, I take a little vitamin C, and I take the vitamin C that has rose hips. It's a natural type of vitamin C. You say, why? Well, I think if I can keep my body healthy, I'll probably live longer. I'll probably be the healthiest guy that goes down on that plane next week. But I'd like to live longer if I could. Now, I'm for exercising. I think if you want to walk, I think that's good. I think if you want to ride a bike, I think that's good. I think if you want to work out somehow, I think that's all fine. But I'll tell you something. I can tell you something probably will help you more than all of those things. You see, there's no such thing as a fountain of youth, but there is a fountain of truth. The fountain of truth is the Bible. In the fountain of truth, God promises some ways to prolong our lives. Or maybe we could look at it, and we will this evening. We'll look at it from a little bit of an opposite approach, things that could shorten our lives. See, all these life-shortening things, I was reading through the book of Deuteronomy many, many months ago. When I was reading through, I kept finding these words, that thy days may be prolonged. That thy days may be prolonged. I'm talking about, I think I found 8 or 10 verses that said, that thy days may be prolonged. Well, I figure then that if God says, if you do thus and so, it'll prolong your days. If you don't do it then, you're going to shorten your days. That's just all there is to it. If you'll stay with me this evening, I'm going to give you some things that will end up shortening your life, or, if you'd like to look at it, the opposite direction, that could lengthen your life through either your obedience or disobedience to the Word of God. I think it is God that makes the final decision how long we live, but I also think this. I think you and I can influence God by our obedience to God's techniques and God's methods that He lays forth or lays out for us in the Bible. Let me show you some of those this evening. For instance, I think you'll shorten your life by not honoring your mother and your father. Right. Why? Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse number 16 says this, honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged. God is saying to us, young people, those of you that are living with mom and dad, you ought to honor your mother and father, because God said, if you will do that, I will give you a richer life, and I will give you a longer life. If we do it, we live longer. If we don't do it, we are shortening our lives. Young people, every time you disobey your mother or you disobey your father, you are cutting days off of your life. I thought about bringing a little page-by-page calendar for every day of the year up here. You just start ripping pages out, because that's how it is. I believe the Bible is teaching us, when we disobey our mom, disobey our dad, dishonor our parents, God's just pulling days off the end of that calendar. You will live less days because of dishonoring your parents. Children, every time you dishonor or you disobey your mom or your dad, you're shortening your life. Go ahead. Go ahead, rebel. Go ahead. You're shortening your life. You are going to pay a terrible price for your life. You say, it doesn't scare me right now. Let me tell you something. When you get older, you begin to see the reality of this thing called death. And you're going to wish that you had more days, more weeks, more months, and more years. You'll see. You'll see. Right now, you think you've got the tiger by the tail. Right now, you think, oh, well, I'm not worried about old age, and I'm not worried about life. Hey, you don't have to get old to die. You don't have to get old to die. But when you dishonor your parents, you're shortening your lifespan. Even as grown adults, I think we should be careful to bring honor to our parents. I think they should be treated with dignity. But be careful, once again, I say especially to those living at home with mom and dad. Every time you talk back to your mama, every time you sass your daddy, every time you disobey, every time you do wrong to your parents, you are shortening your life. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 5:16, honor thy father and thy mother. And it says that thy days may be prolonged. Let me give you another. You will shorten your life by not walking in the ways of the Lord. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse number 33, it says this. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that ye may live, and that it may be well with you, and that ye may prolong your days. There it is again. That ye may prolong your days. In other words, if you do it, you'll prolong your days. And if not, you're going to end up shortening those days. God could have given you more days, but you won't get more days. And it talks here about walking in the way of the Lord. Now, folks, I want to remind you, God has a will for your life. You're not just to float through this life and do what you want and make all your decisions based on how you feel about it. We are so humanistic today in our philosophy, it's pathetic. There is still a God. That God still wants to control your life, not just down at the church house, but at your house. God didn't just ask for control on Sunday. He asked for it on Monday, and on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, and on Thursday, and on Friday, and on Saturday, and all day. And when you're, God is to have control of our lives. There is a divine, heavenly blueprint that was prepared by the hand of God Almighty, and it's for every life in this room. And if you're not following that plan, you are shortening that plan. Hey, you should marry the person that God wants you to marry. God has a plan for your life. And if not, you're going to shorten your life. You should attend the church that God wants you to attend. You see these big 18-wheelers on the side. They got a big old sign painted that said, attend the church of your choice. Poppycock, that's foolishness. You're not to attend the church of your choice. You're to attend the church of God's choice. That's how it's supposed to be. Hey, you're to do with your money what God wants you to do with your money. You're to do with your Sunday night what God wants you to do with it. And with your Sunday morning, what God wants you to do with it. And with your Wednesday night, what God wants you to do with it. Somebody said, well, I didn't feel like going to church last Sunday. Well, God doesn't care what you feel. God wants you to be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. It's a part of being in the will of God. And the Bible says that when we place ourselves in the will of God, we have the opportunity to prolong our lives, and when we choose not to do the will of God, we are shortening our lives. Your job change should be in the will of God. I don't believe unions ought to ship somebody from West Virginia to Florida and have that kind of power. I don't like anything that has the kind of power to tell me where I got to go to church and where I got to live. Oh my, that's dangerous. It's not the will of the union. It's the will of God. It's the will of God. Hey, we don't pick where we live based on the climate. We pick where we live based on the will of God. Every day that we get out of His will, somehow we are shortening our life. We are either shortening it by minutes or by hours or by days or by weeks or by months or by years. But the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33, you shall walk in all the ways which the Lord thy God has commanded you that ye may live. And then He said, what's the result? That ye may prolong your days. Let me show you something else. You will shorten your life by failing to make your family keep God's statutes and commandments. Let me read to you Deuteronomy chapter 11. I'm going to read, I think, three or four verses here. Stay with me now. It says in Deuteronomy 11, starting with verse number 18, therefore shall you lay up these, my words, in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou settest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days be multiplied and the days of your children. Now what's it saying there? We're to teach our families. We're to teach our children. We're to teach in our homes the statutes and the guidelines that are set forth in this book. Why? Because you will lengthen your days as a mom or a dad, and you'll lengthen the days of your children or shorten them. We need to make sure that we understand. Hey, listen, parents, there's a big responsibility of having a household. What goes on at your household is your responsibility. Teach your kids. Why? So it will lengthen their days. We teach them the Word of God because they'll have richer, fuller lives that way. Death comes early if we don't obey God's commandments. Death comes early to those children that don't learn how to obey God. Did you know that cussing should not be allowed in your home? The Bible says in Exodus 27, thou shalt not take the name Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. There are other verses that talk about our tongue and the way we use our tongue. Parents, you shouldn't let your kids cuss around your house. That's your house. You're in charge of that house. You know what? It's time for some moms and dads to take back over. Moms and dads are supposed to run home. I know moms and dads in this building, you are intimidated by your own kids. They bully you and tell you how it's going to be. Well, rise up, Mom. Rise up, Dad. Get some grit about you, and you need to realize you're the mom and dad. And that's how it is. My kids never told me. They never told me how it was going to be at my house. And had they tried, I would have said, there's a door, Jack. You're not going to tell me how to run my household. Now listen, some of you're almost scared to death of your own kids. You better do them a favor. Teach them the Word of God. Immorality should not be allowed by those living in your household. Why? The Bible says thou shalt not commit adultery. The Bible says you're not supposed to fornicate. Listen, you shouldn't be letting the kids that live in your household go around fornicating. You're the mom. You're the dad. You're to determine the morality of what goes on in your home. Now you say, but I didn't know. Now I understand that. I didn't expect you to be able to read minds and see through walls. Though I think my mom could see through walls and read minds. My mom had this uncanny way. I'd come home. I'd been in trouble. She could say, Jeff, where you been? What you been doing? I'm thinking, brother, how does she know already? It might have been a good psych job. I'm not sure. But you listen to me now. The Bible is commanding us here in Deuteronomy 11 that we teach our families, and in our homes there is to be an established, expected morality and behavior. People in your home, hey, if your kids are living in your home, they ought to come to church. Parents that let their kids decide whether they go to church or not. You say, well, when I was a child, I was drugged to church, so I just hate church. Well, when I was a child, I didn't like the idea of being potty trained, so I still wear a diaper to this day to prove my point. P- people in our homes should not allow to lie and get away with it. Now, there's nothing you can do about your grown children. Your grown children that are out of your house, they're going to give answer to God for themselves. But the people that live in our homes, there is a way that they ought to live. You see, we're going to give answer to God about what takes place in our homes. And God said, if you want to live longer and you want your children to live longer, there ought to be expectation about the way that they live. We've got to be careful with this thing. Did you hear what it said? It says, therefore, shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be the frontlets between your eyes. It's talking about the Word of God. We ought to have a relationship with the Word of God. You should, and I should. We need to turn some of those soap operas off and start reading our Bibles. The television's taking the place of the Bible. We listen to bad music, but we won't read our Bibles. Hey, we, in neglecting the Word of God, you are reducing your lifespan. We don't memorize Scripture anymore. We don't respect the Word of God anymore. We don't carry it to work anymore. Men, don't be afraid to throw that old black book up there on the dash of your truck and just let everybody see it. Don't be afraid to pull your Bible out at work, out there on the work site, and just let people see it, reading the Word of God. We read the newspaper, the sports section, but we don't read our Bibles. We read magazines, but we don't read God's eternal Word. When we fail to teach ourselves, when we fail to teach our homes, our children, the Word of God, we're shortening our lives, and we're shortening the lives of those that we love. Speaking of the longevity of life, you got to hear this. A distraught senior citizen called her doctor's office one day. Here's the conversation. Is it true, she wanted to know, that the medication that you prescribed has to be taken for the rest of my life? Yes, I'm afraid so, the doctor told her, for the rest of your life. There was a moment of silence before the senior lady replied, well, I'm wondering then just how serious my condition is, because his prescription says no refills. That's a bummer. You know something? I don't know of any of us that don't want to have a long life. Well, you say, and I'll tell you what I'm doing, Brother Owens. I'm eating right. I am exercising. I got me this special mattress, and I sleep a special way, and I do all these things. I can tell you something that will help you more than that. Obey your mom and dad. Obey your mom and dad. Stop neglecting the Word of God. Make sure that you have the Word of God as an active part of your everyday life. Make sure that you are walking in the will of God. Not only that, you will shorten your life by allowing pride to run wild in your life. Let me show you once again. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 17 verse number 20 says this. That his heart be not lifted up above his brethren, there's the pride, that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end, that he may prolong his days. What is the outcome we're looking for? The prolonging of the days. What do we not want to see happen? The shortening of our days. And it said there, he's talking about someone's heart not being lifted up. Pride will shorten our lives, which means then humility will lengthen our lives. Can I tell you something? One of the greatest expressions of pride is criticism of others. Criticism is an exaltation of yourself at the expense of somebody else. We criticize those that we think we're better than. You notice, and you've heard me say this before, we don't criticize people who have our identical weaknesses. We find someone where we feel that we are superior and we attack them in their weakness. May I say, we all have weaknesses. We all, if you want to, we can all just dice each other to shreds. If you want to, we could just go ahead and destroy each other and destroy our church and destroy this place. That would be easy to do if we all decided, well, I see their weakness. Well, goodness, we all have weaknesses. Criticism is one of the most frequently, it is the most frequent sign of pride in someone's life. Hey, gossip, better watch out now. I've watched gossips destroyed. Arrogance will shorten your life. Being so proud that you can't be corrected, that'll destroy your life. Being so proud you cannot be disciplined by God or superiors, that'll shorten your life. Listen, always, there are people that are always able to apply the preaching from this pulpit to someone else, but never seeming to realize that sermon was to them. I mean, we're good at saying, well, I'll tell you what, my wife needs this. And there are a lot of humble wives sitting there thinking, I need this, this is good for me, but a husband that is arrogant, thinking, yeah, she needs it. Pile it on there, preacher. Has it occurred to you, maybe that preacher was for you? Pride will shorten our lives. Hey, did you know something? I'll tell you another sign of pride in life, a lack of prayer. Why? Well, prayer, that's us proving we're dependent on God. No prayer is proof that we're trying to depend on ourselves. People don't pray, they really think they've got it together and they can do it without God. You need God. And so, I don't want to shorten my life. I want to lengthen my life. Well, how can I do it? I need to stay humble. I need not let my pride get out of hand. And if my pride gets out of hand, I'll shorten my life. Let me go on. You will shorten your life by ignoring the differences between men and women. You will shorten your life by ignoring the differences between men and women. Let me read to you from Deuteronomy 22, verse 5 through 7. It says, a woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination to the Lord thy God. If a bird's nest chance to be before thee in the way, in any tree, or on the ground, whether they be young ones or eggs, and the dam setting upon the young, or the young the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam with the young. But thou shalt in any wise let the dam go, and take the young to thee, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest prolong thy days. Now, God here took a moment to say the hen and the rooster hold different status in the bird kingdom. The hen and the rooster are supposed to be different. Have you ever noticed that? Yeah. Yeah, the bull is different than that heifer. They're different. They're supposed to be different. God intended for them to be different. The Bible says we're to be different. We're to be different in the way we look. We're to be different in the way that we dress. Notice the result. And that thou mayest prolong thy days. 1 Corinthians 11:14-15 says, doth not nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it's a shame unto him. But if a woman have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given for a covering. God is telling us there's to be a difference in the way a man looks in his hair and the way a woman looks with her hair. And I realize you say, oh boy, I'll tell you what, that is archaic. That is old. You're right. It is. It's as old as this black book. It is as old as this black book. Men and women are supposed to be different, dress different, act different. They're to wear their hair different. And years ago, you could say that in a church and it wouldn't bother anybody because everybody knew it. Even the lost people knew it. You can go back on television and see that everybody practiced it on television out of Hollywood years ago. Now you say it in church and there are people that are offended. I mean, they get their feathers all riled up. Well, we'll just check to see if you got male feathers or female feathers. Men are to lead their homes. And we're not talking about being tyrants, but men are to be the head of the household. That's what the Bible teaches. You say, well, that's not what they say in our society. I don't care what they say in our society. I care what the Bible says. Our society is not a happy society. Our society is falling apart. We now want to tell people that if two men want to get married, they can and be a family. That's foolishness. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us that there's to be a difference in men and women. Ladies need to learn to submit to their husbands. Husbands need to learn to submit to God. The unisex movement is life shortening. It's life shortening. And that's exactly what the Bible says. Get it out. Read it for yourself. Deuteronomy 22, verse 5 through 7. That's exactly what the Bible's teaching. If men and women do not see the difference between the two in the way they dress and the way they behave, they are shortening their lifespan. And it says at the end, and that thou mayest prolong thy days. You say, Brother Owens, I dress right. Good, you'll live longer. Let's go on. You will shorten your life by being dishonest. And I think maybe it was last Sunday night, I preached a whole sermon on lying. We talked about the white lie and the black lie and the half lie and, you know, that lie that's the silent lie. So I won't take a lot of time for this thing. But you can shorten your life as a result of dishonesty. Deuteronomy 25, verse number 15 says this, but thou shalt have a perfect and just weight a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now, we're talking about just weights and measures here. So it's talking about people that when they do business with one another, they should be fair. They should not try to cheat each other. They should not try to deceive each other. Every time you sell a faulty product, you shorten your life. If you're a salesperson and you know you have a product, and that product is not what you sell it as, it's not adequate as you make it adequate, you have deceived someone, and God said you're shortening your lifespan. When we lie about something's quality, we're shortening our lifespan. Every time you're dishonest with God concerning your tithe, you're shortening your lifespan. You say, I don't believe that. Well, ask Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira were dishonest with God about their finances, and they died. All the way. Dead. Gone. No more supper. Every time you defraud someone and steal money from them in a business deal, you're shortening your life. I got me some more money. You got you less life. Well, I'll get ahead. You just got behind on the number of days you're going to live. Every time you lie to your boss, you shorten your life. Every time you deceive your husband, you're cutting off days of your life. Every time you cheat on a test in school and you're dishonest, you lose days off your life. You don't see it. You don't see it because God's going to the end of the calendar pulling pages off from the back. But a bunch of you got your big old pile is just laying there. Because you're not doing the things that will prolong, lengthen, or sustain your life. You're doing the things that will cause you to lose your life. I want to live a long time. Now I'm going to take my vitamins. And I'm going to exercise. And I'm going to do some of those things that I ought to do. But I'll tell you what I really want to do. I think I can lengthen my life if I will just make sure that I understand that I am to honor my mother and my father. I think I will lengthen my life if I will understand I am to live my life in God's will. And I am to make sure that in my household we obey the Word of God. And I am not to be full of pride. And I don't want to short my life by letting men and women be alike. There's to be a difference. And I don't want to shorten my life by being dishonest and being a liar. You can take all the vitamins you want, but those things right there will help you live longer. Every time you say something bad about someone and it was not true. You know, when you pass on some tidbit of gossip, do you realize that if you don't know that it's true, that you have just spoken a mistruth, you shortened your life. You shortened your life. Every time you don't keep a promise to someone that you made a promise to, I think you're shortening your life. Now, let me say this. I'm not saying that all old people obeyed all of these things. And I'm not saying that all people that die young disobeyed these things. I am saying that God says you can have a part in either shortening or lengthening your lifespan. You can have a part. You can push the date of your death forward, or it can be retracted. How? By your behavior. Because God promises. Why would God use those words over and over again? That thy days may be prolonged. God is saying, you may put more days on the calendar, or cause me to pop a few more days off the back of that thing. You choose which one you want to have. You go ahead and choose. The lifespan of people in this country compared to the lifespan of people a couple thousand years ago is totally different. You know, people used to live hundreds of years. I don't remember how old was Methuselah. Brother English? 900 and some years? Brother English knew Methuselah. 900 some years old. Well, there's a guy who lived a long time. He must have obeyed this. Methuselah, 900 some years. You go back and you'll find people, they had a much greater lifespan. I'll tell you why. They lived different back then. They reverenced God more back then. The honor to mother and father was extreme. Immorality was filthy. Men and women were different. And the further we go in life, the less we live the old time way, the shorter the lifespan seems to be. You go to countries that ignore this book, check the lifespan.
Yes, sir.
Go to the countries that worship the cows. You see a lot of pestilence, disease, death. Don't be shocked, and I'll tell you what, America better wake up. You know, you say, Brother Owens, what about America? What about the finances? How many of you would consider yourself part of what they call the baby boomers? Raise your hand. Put it up real nice and high. There's some of you are, whether you're raising your hand right now or not, you can put your hand down. Let me tell you something. Say, what are we going to do? Is Social Security, is there going to be something there for that massive a group of people that were born in the 60s? I'll tell you how we could sustain our life. Just live right. I'll tell you how you could make it. You say, well, how will I stay alive? Well, you may depend on Social Security a little, but you're going to need God. God can prolong the life by our behavior. If you don't believe that, you say, well, you know, I don't think I'm going to die early because I disobeyed my mom and dad. Well, when your mom tells you to get off the train track, just stand there, stupid, and we'll see how it works. You just go ahead and prove your point to us, if you will. In Psalm 91:16, it is said, with long life will I satisfy him. God sees length of life as a very valuable thing. Long life can be very satisfying, especially for the Christian. And the longer we live, the more time we have to serve Him. Let's do what we can to care for our bodies. And you all know how I feel about that. I think you ought to take good care of your body. It is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God. But along with taking care of this vessel, the body, once you take care of your relationship with the Word of God and with your spirituality and your holiness, because that will contribute more to the length of your life than taking some vitamins and doing your jumping jacks in the morning. If you're not saved, how would you like to live forever? You can. You need to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you'll do that, you can get saved. And you can have eternal life, which, by the way, eternal is the quality. And you can have everlasting life, and that is the duration. You can live forever, and it will be a perfect forever life. Oh, so you know, if you don't get saved, you're still going to have everlasting life. But your everlasting life will be in hell. That'll be a bad, bad life. Hey, let's live longer by obeying the Word of God. If you're not saved, why don't you get saved so you can live forever? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed.